Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Yeah, can I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Wolfing down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolf and Luke.
Man, does it smell good.
As noon on a Monday, it is time for Wolfing Down Your Lunch. Rick is here. Rick, what's going on?
What's up, guys?
What up, Rick?
The Timberwolves set the tone in Game 1 as they beat the Suns 120-95 to kick off the best-of-seven series. Here's Frank Vogel after the game.
Now, we knew all week that this team is far better than the team we saw in the head-to-head matchups in the regular season. You know, I mean, it's a 56-win team with Cat missing 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever he missed. So, I mean, you know, really a 60-win caliber team that we're playing against. You know, so, you know, we knew they were going to play better. We hoped to have played better in Game 1, but we got to make a response in Game 2.
Our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at ArizonaSports.com, and it asks, what was most concerning about the Suns' Game 1 loss? Edwards' third quarter, rebounding, Grayson Allen's injury, or bench production?
Rebound that basketball! Yeah, that for me, that was it right there. You know, the referees let them play, man. The refs let them play. They ate those whistles a lot, especially down low. It was a very, very physical contest. And the Suns needed to be more physical on the glass. And when I say more physical, I'm saying by a long shot. 52-28, they got beat on the glass. That just cannot happen.
Yeah, these are all concerning now that I look at it. Because, I mean, the Allen injury, if he's missing games or is ineffective, that hurts. The bench thing, I mean, that's not great. They were thoroughly dominated on the bench, but that can vary a little bit from game to game. I don't love that Anthony Edwards woke up and went off because, like I said earlier, I was hoping you could delay that as long as possible. It was inevitable, but I was hoping you could delay it for at least a game or two in the series after the way you held him down in the regular season. But it's got to be the rebounding because I don't know that that's going to get a whole lot better. And so, yeah, I'm with you. 52-28 on the glass. That is rough.
Well, rebounding is in the lead, 38%. Bench production is second with 29%. Grayson Allen's injury is third, 22%. And Anthony Edwards' third quarter is fourth with 11%.
Nice.
All right. After seeing what you saw in Game 1 from the Suns, how do you think this series is going to end? Do you think the Suns still have a chance?
Yeah, I still think... I'm going to say this the way Wolf says this sometimes. Yeah, I think whoever wins Game 2 is going to win the series. I think if the Suns win it, then we're going to see them kind of get back on track a little bit. I mean, they're so inconsistent, it's hard to rely on anything. But I think if they win Game 2 and it's a best of 5 from that point on, and yeah, but if Minnesota goes up 2-0, I mean, I think at a certain point we got to be realistic. I was looking at this before. The Suns haven't been down by 2 games in a series very often since they started getting back into the playoffs in 21, but when they have, they've never won a series down 2 games.
Yeah, man. I think the Suns are going to bounce back in Game 2. I really do believe that. But let me just say this, brothers. If we don't see that, if we see the T-Wolves beat them and beat them by double digits once again, I will definitely question how long this series is going to go. I will definitely do that after 2 games. I need to see one more game. This is the bounce back game for the Phoenix Suns. We've seen them be inconsistent all season long. This would seem to get their attention and say, let's go and let's see how they play in Game 2.
Merrill Kelly was scratched from his start yesterday due to shoulder discomfort. He was examined by team trainers and sent home for an MRI. So hopefully we find out more about his status today. But the D-backs did beat the Giants 5-3 in their series finale. Here's Torrey Lovello after the game.
It feels unbelievable. This team is beat up, tired, dealing with some unforeseen circumstances, and they go out and win a huge game. And it just speaks volumes about this team's toughness, their ability to focus at the most critical times, and then close it out and win a game. It wasn't easy. Today was not an easy day. You know, you wake up and get the news on Merrill. I don't care what happens. It takes a toll on the team. And then what Slade did just kind of gave everybody a chance to catch their breath. We went out and won a big game.
What is your concern level with Merrill Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, it's an arm and it's a pitcher, so that's never great. At least it's not the elbow. But I just, they can't afford to not have Merrill Kelly. Even if they have everybody else, in my mind, they need Merrill Kelly. But they also don't have a lot of these guys. I will say this, Wolf, so far through these first 23 games, it has shown how much depth this team does have to still be right there around 500. Like, when the Suns had all the injuries earlier in the year, it was like, I don't know about their depth. The Diamondbacks have a ton of depth, but they just have an absurd amount of injuries now.
You know what's... I'm concerned. I have the furrowed brow. I'm not panicking. But Merrill Kelly is a guy that when he gets concerned, I get concerned. And, you know, I think he's mildly, with an emphasis on mildly, concerned. And that kind of concerns me.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Slightly more than mildly?
Because this guy is Farmer Brown, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, what concerns me is their next five games, three against St. Louis, two against Seattle. Right now, the set pitching matchups are Brandon Pfaadt. Who knows on Tuesday? Jordan Montgomery, Zach Gallen, and who knows on Saturday?
Yeah, there are some athletes, professional athletes, that just overreact to everything.
He's not one of them.
Oh, he's not one of them. And that's what has got my attention.
All right. And one more real quick for you guys. According to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport.
This isn't going to be quick, but go ahead.
Former Jets quarterback. And number two pick, Zach Wilson, has been is being traded to the Broncos. What is your reaction to this?
Now, we should throw in, it's the other part of the trade is just a very late pick swap. I think
yes,
it's two
late round pick swap.
Seventh round.
Six for a seventh, and the Jets will pay some of Wilson's salary.
Just to get him out of there. I mean, well, based on the look on your face, I'm going to let you give your reaction instead.
No, I just wonder what is going on here. Is this the perfect opportunity for Sean Payton to say, I am a quarterback whisperer? Yes.
But they still need a quarterback, though, don't they?
Listen, Zach Wilson, when you look at him in terms of talent and you look at him in terms of first-round ability, he's got everything you need. Everything you could want. It's what lies within Zach Wilson. This would be the perfect opportunity for Sean Payton to show what kind of quarterback whisperer he is. The only thing that could ruin it is you drafting a quarterback in the first round coming up this Thursday to compete with Zach Wilson.
Dude,
we'll see what happens.
The only fan base that might be meaner to Zach Wilson than the New York one would be the Broncos fans.
Really?
Yeah, you're going to bring your answer to not having a quarterback for a while is to bring in Zach Wilson. He better be good right out of the gate. This is not this. If you're Sean Payton, you don't get to do like your little passion project with quarterback of the Denver Broncos. That fan base is not going to stand for it.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Obviously, they got him for nothing. So
there's really no commitment, right?
Right.
I still think they need a quarterback in the draft.
Okay, wow, that'd be really, really interesting. Can't wait to hear more on this. Can't wait to hear Sean Payton talk about Zach Wilson.
Well, I can't wait to hear from Kellen Olson. Thanks for wolfing down your lunch there, Rick.